So we just, English is enough? Everyone understands English.
A kaj še ne razume angliško slučajno od Slovenca?
And why are you translating?
I'm just asking. Oh. Yeah, because if somebody wouldn't know, then they wouldn't know.
Okay.
So.
Judy said, what did you say? He said we should talk about Hungarian preaching, book distribution, Krishna Valley.
Yes.
That's relating to your topics?
Yes, to some extent, you can say. But they are more interested in Krishna Valley and the Hungarian preaching than our original topic.
Okay. That's why the EU is paying you to come here.
That's right.
It's a good arrangement. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyway, thank you for coming to visit. And I'm glad that you're able to come. And this is your last day, right?
Yes.
By the way, here, this is called Kali Agat. This river is in Krishna Valley. It's not really a river, there's a lake, but it's called it's the Jamuna River. And It is a river because it's fed just over here by streams, springs come out of the ground. There's about 13, 14 springs, and they feed the Jamuna here, which is made of one lake here. This is a bigger lake, and then there's the other one, which is further down. And it's full of all kinds of creatures, lots of fish, because we don't let anyone come fishing here. So you can almost walk on one side to the other on the fish. There's so many fish in the water. And some are very big. And then there were a couple of snakes here this morning when I came down, water snakes. They hunt the frogs mostly. Sometimes the fish, but they're not poisonous, so it's okay. And there's some birds also. They just left when you came down. Ducks, or Prabhupada calls them water chickens in the Bhagavatam. They sort of look like chickens. They don't have flat beaks. Where there's water, then there's life. And if you don't have water, then that's why originally this water body wasn't here. That's why we made these two dams. It was just a little creek flowing along. And some sort of 1,000 years back, this was a Arvar settlement. Those are the people who lived here before the Magyars came. So it was like 1,000 years ago that the chieftains came to Hungary and settled in this area, and then from there sort of started the Hungarian race. Although Prabhupada, in the verse, Shukadeva Goswami speaking, Hirata, Kunandra, Pulindapur, Kusha, Avira, Shumba, Yavana, Kashadaya. So he says, Kirata Huna. He says, the Huns, they're a tribe that lives in what is now sort of the area of Germany. That's sort of one reference to the Hungarians. From the Bhagavatam, they're the Huns. Although the Huns that you know about are actually more nomadic tribes that actually came from Mongolia, and when they came to Hungary, they actually killed 50% of the population. There were 2 million people living here at the time, and they cut it down to 1 million. That was good, because some other places they killed 90% of the people. And when we were building, well, he came over here, but the building that's opposite the offices here, which was originally the art studio, and it was in the art studio that we built the elephants that are in the entranceway. The devotees had a little oversight, is that once they made the elephant, they couldn't figure out how to get it out. So they had to cut it back up again into little pieces, and then that's how we got it out. But just opposite, and that's sort of now our canning and preserving kitchen and so on. And I really regret it when we're digging the foundation, and they had this very, very nice copper engraved with design container. It was like a bowl. And unfortunately, I gave it to the archaeological department. But that was an indication that there was actually that settlement in this whole area. And at the top of the hill, there's a path. And that used to be the main path between the main road between Kapushvar and Fonyud. So it's sort of a historical area. In the previous village, Somogyvar, am I repeating something you all said? In the village that you come here, Somogyvar, there's the ruins of a monastery, a Franciscan monastery. Well, it's not Franciscan, it became Franciscan because it's one of the oldest monasteries in Hungary. It used to be one of the most popular. It's over 800 years old. And interestingly enough, that the Balaton, Lake Balaton, it's on a hill. Lake Balaton used to actually come all the way out to there, which is like 25 miles away from where it is right now. Because Lake Balaton is the biggest sort of lake in Europe. It's more a drainage. All the surrounding land just sort of drains in. So it's not very deep. I think there's only one or two places. It's like about 20 meters. But otherwise, it's more like 4, 5, 6 meters deep. And that's quite a significant historical place. They got one EU grant, now they just got another to fix that place up. And there's also another church which doesn't have the same type of another ruin. And that was our original place when we got this land, although we didn't buy it in one piece. We bought it in segments, which was a very slow and painful process. It took almost up to 10 years to get everything that we have now, which is more or less between, there's a road over here that goes around to the village, and then there's another road over there, not the one that you came on, the one you come on is in the middle. So everything, and then all the way up to the hill and all the way to the village, that's all New Rajadam. But our first property that we bought was in the village, which is 2 kilometers down the little road that you, some of you come in on who aren't staying here on the property. And that there we bought a house. At that time, we were buying buildings for, well, in nowadays currency, about $700. And what's the main building, which is at the reception, or the larger building, the reception, that was like a real extravagant expenditure that like cost us £1,000. And of course, real estate has gone up now that we're here and Krishna Valley's here, because this was a dying village. And it was dying out, and other parts were being sort of repossessed by gypsies. And so there, that was our original house, and we lived there. It was just all of those houses are built out of earth, either they're earth bricks or the rammed earth. This soil, I'm looking around, and you can't see because it's all grass. This is, it's called, the county is called Somogy, and the earth is called Somogy Firth. It's very well known. It's a very, very, very useful earth. It's not that good for growing. I mean, everywhere in Hungary is good for growing, but it's not as good as, for instance, the black earth that you find on the other side of the Danube. But it's very good for these sherepkai, how these are the sort of stoves, earthen stoves that they make. And it's golden in color, that's why the river you see is also golden. It's yellow in cover. Anyway, it was a simple little earth house like that. There was one little room in the middle that served as a kitchen. One side was the Mataji's, one side were the men. And then we had an adjoining barn. And we sort of built a little bathroom outside, which men and ladies both used, obviously at different times. It was really quite austere until we there was one building here on the property, which was a barn, and that was the only thing. It was actually on the top of the hill, just over from the temple. You can't see it now. It burnt down. I can't remember when, 94, 95, 97, something like that. And so the men moved up there. They were living in the barn. And we had the big barrels, 40-gallon barrels, and we'd fill it up with water, and that's what they would bathe out of. And in summer and winter time, they would have to break the ice on the top. And then the ladies lived down there. It was quite an austere situation. But anyway, I was going to say that there's another church which dates back to sort of a similar era, 600-700 years, and that's just in ruins. When you drive in towards Kapishwar, then you can see it. It's just in the middle of an agricultural field. So that's somewhat about, you know, history. And And of course, there's a lot to be said about how New Rajadhyam came about. It was, as I mentioned originally, we were looking for a place to have a farm where families could be brought up, have our own gurukula for children, where we could sort of fulfill Prabhupada's desire of having a self-sufficient community, which is not easy. Prabhupada's experience, at least, of self-sufficiency was in India. And you know, south of the Himalayas, it doesn't snow. So you've got two seasons, three growing seasons. Here you've got one growing season, and then from November to March, well, anyway, you know what it's like. The devotees from Slovenia and other, although I think it may be a little more temperate over there, but it's like Switzerland. You got the same. You got cold. You got winter. So you can't, in this kind of climate, you can't have fresh food all year round. But that doesn't mean you can't be self-sufficient. That's why we have, and I think I saw you go into our big cold storage. And so in an emergency, it's possible. We grow, you can grow almost anything here, except for rice. Just, we need to really make rice fields, and in order to, the rice needs water. Although there is some sort of forest rice, but rice doesn't do very well in this part of Hungary. In another part of Hungary, there is sort of a flat grained rice. The devotees like basmati, and especially the you know, our culture is eating, having feasts, and so on. We don't eat like ordinary people eat. For us, eating is much more of a thing. And as long as eating is like a real adventure and experience, then we need to buy rice. And in the winter time, starting in the winter time to spring, then we have to also purchase goods. But otherwise, all kinds of fruits. We've got unlimited fruits. We have a fruit orchard over here with 2,000 trees. We got the other fruit orchard over there. Vegetables, anything, okra, corella, asparagus, and of course the usual things that grow here in the West. So from now, June, up until November, we just more or less live off what we grow. And then if it came to having to be self-sufficient, in other words, when you couldn't buy anything or anything like that, then, and devotees were living at a different standard. They weren't just eating like kings, but they were just eating more or less like people. Then there's always, we certainly wouldn't starve. And then one of the aspects of New Brajadam is, well, before I even get to that, in the very beginning, we only have really a few devotees living here who actually know what farming is about, or at least knew what farming was about, who grew up on a farm, who grew up in the country. Most of them came from towns or Budapest. Budapest is really the only city in Hungary that qualifies as a city in terms of size. The others are sort of towns. And most devotees came from there, so it was quite a novelty for them to actually work in these conditions, and then live in these conditions. And all of them had before 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, or more, just on sankirtan and preaching. So the idea that everyone's going to be isolated and living on a farm, that would have been sort of hard to sell to the devotees. And that was in the very beginning. We're inviting guests, so to make it actually a tourist area. Balaton is a very, very touristy area. People from all over come. Every Hungarian comes. They've all got some kind of little chalet here. And then people from German, from all over Europe, they come to visit. It's inexpensive, it's pleasant, the lakes there, lots of entertainment, so it's a relatively good place to be. And so, as I mentioned in the beginning, we didn't have anything, and in fact, we didn't even have a road. It was just, what is the road now? That's where devotees used to walk in. We used to have a horse in the beginning, so I used to ride the horse in, and we sort of made a horse trail, and then the devotees followed that later on. But interestingly, we invited the tourist companies to come, and we told them we're going to build a temple here, and there's going to be a village here, and we're going to have so many other things that would be very interesting for people to come and visit, especially when the weather's like this, everyone's in the lake. As soon as it gets a little cloudy and they can't swim, then they look for all kinds of other things. Other type of diversions. So some of the when they came, it was actually pouring rain. We were out there on our main building right beside the entrance, and we spoke to them and we gave them prasadam, and we couldn't even show them the place because it was raining too much. But anyway, there was nothing to see. There was just sort of the road, and there was everything that you see now. Without the trees, there were no trees. This place was just all grazing land. There were no buildings. There was no temple. And one of the main tourist company in Hungary, they said, "Well, why don't you put something up and then have a road? And then call us, let us know, and then once we can walk out or drive out on something, then we'll come and see it." But some of the other people, because we were Hare Krishnas, they were interested. And so we started in 1974, we started to build the temple. And in order to build the temple, we had a paved road, but we had a dirt road. So at least finally we had a road that people could actually walk in on. And even when it was raining, it was all right. It was covered. It was covered with a certain type of stone. And so we put out signs. We made signs, and we said, "This is where we're going to have a Gurukula. And this is where we're going to have a lake. And this is where we're going to have houses." We didn't have any houses at that time. And this is where, we showed them the foundation of the temple, and the devotees were working there. Of course, because it was devotees who did more or less all the construction, except for something that really required some kind of expertise, like all the woodwork. Building the roof and so on, but the temple itself, it's also made of rammed earth. So that took a lot of sitting there and mixing earth with a little cement and lime and then pounding it in. Very, very labor intensive. And the temple itself is like 60, the walls are like that, they're 60 centimeter thick walls. And we had a tour guide. We had a tour guide who would meet the people there. And of course, no one was allowed to drive here. Now, devotees drive, although even hopefully that's a temporary arrangement. But this is just all meant for walking. So people would walk the 2 kilometers in, and devotees would tell them, "This is going to be here, that's going to be there." And somehow or another, people really, they really bought into that. They bought into it enough to pay an entrance to come and see what's not here. But because of the devotees, because of devotees' enthusiasm, and they went away. There was never a complaint. They went away extremely enthusiastic. "Wow, this is great. We saw Krishna Valley, although there was nothing really to see." But then gradually things came up. Devotees started building houses, and Gurukul was there. One of the first buildings, the temple, got built by 1996. There was a barn there. There were cows, and whatever else people didn't see, devotees sort of filled in. But it was always that was always the main attractive feature, is the devotees. And people would see and they saw it's so nice and peaceful. I'd like to live here. Most everyone says, I'd love to live here. Of course, when you tell them, why don't you live here? They say, well, you know, yeah, your standards are a little high for us. You know, we can't smoke, we can't drink. And so, the pub just outside the gate does a good business. You know, people get a little relief after being dry when they come here, spend the whole day here. And of course, we had the restaurant, and people very much like to be able to have a taste of what our food is. And gradually, I would say that probably everyone in Hungary knows New Vrajadhama. I think that's an exaggeration. They may have not all been here, but they have all heard of it. I very rarely meet anybody who hasn't heard of it. And at the same time, I'm always surprised as to who comes and how they come here. I go to Parliament, meet with an MP or a minister, and they said, "Yeah, I was down." He says, "When were you down?" "Oh, I was there 3 weeks ago." And he just came down with his family. The devotees didn't particularly recognize them. Many people come. People come repeatedly. We have, of course, we're open house all year round, so we get anywhere from 20,000 to 30,000 guests that come, and that's in the third weekend of July. Then we have Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday. It's a really a real fair. You know, the tent is ongoing show programs. We have all kinds of other programs put on. It's something more than just what devotees here handle. Devotees from all over the yatra come. The square that you see is covered. It's like a restaurant with I don't know how many seating arrangement, but maybe 300, 400, 500 people sit, and it's like nonstop. People are taking prasadam all the time, and then all the road between the temple to the barn is all filled on both sides with tents and stalls and display. And cooking display and everything, it's extremely popular. And regularly people come to see what's new. People come over again. So it's become a very, it's a very good preaching tool. I would say that probably 90% of the good reputation that we have in Hungary is based on people's visit here and what they've heard, if they haven't been here, what they've heard of Krishna Valley. For devotees, we say New Vrajadham. For karmis, it's Krishna Valley. And that really facilitates our preaching, it facilitates our book distribution, our interaction with the government. Although, you know, now this is the third term for an extremely right-wing, conservative, Christian government who, if they tried a couple of times to really take away our religion, our church status as a recognized church, but particularly because of our popularity, as well as the good relationships and support we enjoy from the Indian embassy, then things are still going on. And of course here, you know, that the temple Radhisham are the center point of New Brajadham. And many people, interestingly enough, come to see them. There are many many stories of how visitors, and I mean regular visitors, who come, even the people from the village, who just develop a certain faith and become devotees. There used to be one old lady here in the village who gradually became someone who would come here regularly. She's quite old, but she would come, and she would come to see the deities. She'd come to talk to the devotees, and she'd come to see the deities, and she'd bring a flower. And she lived with the local people who are pretty basic. They're not like very cultured people. They're village people, they're country people. And so even when she was actually dying, then, you know, with all of her family around, and, you know, there's a Jewish cemetery here in the village, there's a Catholic church, there's a Protestant church. And so she was talking to them about Krishna, and just at the time when she was leaving, she's saying, "Is Krishna here?" And she was looking at her and says, "Oh, yes, Krishna's here." And she just left her body. And there's other nice stories of how people become very, very much affected, transformed by the devotees, by the project itself, and by Radhisham. And it's something that they very much appreciate, because for the most part, especially older people, they all lived like this not long ago. It's just in the recent century, with industrialization and the wars that happened, that people became very much city-centric, and then actually working on factories and consumer items rather than being themselves self-sufficient. That's something about New Brajadham as a preaching tool, and I was going to mention it's also, that's why we started to develop New Brajadham also as a pilgrimage place, both for devotees in Hungary, and so that people could also visit it and appreciate it from another perspective, from another point of view, and that's also something that we're putting in more time and energy into, is actually when people come here, taking them around on parikrama and getting them to, because they express it, what's so peaceful. What peaceful really means is something else, that it's something that emanates rather from devotees' devotional service and Radhisham Sundar actually being present, and that actually New Brajadham is more like a manifestation of Krishna's own abode, and they accept it. They can accept that. So that was sort of one of my purposes for writing a book on New Brajadham and connecting that with Krishna's pastimes and Radhisham's pastimes, which Srila Prabhupada says that when wherever Krishna is, that's Vrindavan, Nama Krishna in terms of the deity. And therefore, and wherever Vrindavan is, then Krishna's performing all of his pastimes in those places, and Krishna's pastime places are also there. So when you say Vrindavan, Vrindavan's not just a word, then it actually becomes Krishna's own home, and then Vrindavan is made up of unlimited pastime places in which Radha Shyamasundar are here, and although for in one aspect they're deities standing on another, but on another they're not restricted to standing on an altar. In other words, they can move as deities, just like Gopal did, but they can also simultaneously also be present and enjoying those pastimes that we read about in Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the more devotees become conscious of that and facilitate those pastime places, then the more the influence of the Dham comes through. And that has a very very strong effect on people.